Are you ready? If you got your Bible, jump on over to Psalms 139, and I will be right along. Psalm 139. Week one of this series, we redefined worship. We created a new definition. Worship is an outward expression of an inward love that can't be contained. Just can't do it. Can't hold it in. Week two, Courtney challenged us with what our biblical response is to worship. Challenged us with our voice, our body, and our hands. Week three, we answered the question, what you looking at? And the deep theology of that day was like, what you're looking at is tends to be what you see. So like super deep stuff, right? So look at the right things. There you go. Week four, Easter changed everything, especially me. And we learned that worship empties me of me and leaves room for thee. All right. Week five, I helped everybody have another identity crisis. And we took on the identity that I am a worshiper. And last week, Amanda taught us that we can choose to worship through the pain, because worship is a choice. All of these messages are available on the podcast, the Branch Oxford. This is our super fancy podcast audio capture technology right here. So that's why you always see that up there. That way, if somebody misses something and wants to jump along, you can. Y'all, by the way, we've got somebody from like a couple of people in China and in Frankfurt, Germany. Is that right? Hey. That like subscribe to the podcast and listen to everybody. That's super cool. I don't think I know anybody over there, but that's awesome. Anyway, I'm going to worship. Are you going to worship? I am going to worship. Here we go. I love going on adventures. If you know me at all, you know that like I want to build my entire life around adventure. When we like presented what we were doing to come and start a church to our kids, it was all about the Hoover adventure. And so everything we did led into, and we used the verbiage of, it's all part of the adventure. We're just going on another adventure. It's all part of the adventure. I love going hiking and camping and backpacking. I love exploring new cities and new places I've never been. I love being on the move and seeing how far I can go. There's this spirit of adventure inside of me that drives me to find new places. But this doesn't just limit me to the physical new places, okay? Today I want to wrap up this series on worship by talking about the place of worship. Y'all say the place of worship.
The place of worship.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you are where we can go and find the place of worship. God, that you meet us here and this can be the place of worship. God, that when we leave here, that can be the place of worship. So Jesus, meet us here. Continue to pour out your spirit on us. We love you. We thank you. Amen. Psalm 139. You ready? Start at verse 7. Let's do this. The word of God says this. I'm reading out of the NLT. It says this. I can never, y'all say never.
Never.
I can never escape from your spirit. I can never, y'all say never.
Never.
Never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. The place of worship. I guess the first question might be, is there even a place for worship in your life? Or maybe have you double booked God out of your schedule? You know, that's not even the real direction I'm going. Just something to chew on. Okay, I'm going to actually get started now. You ready? No matter where you are, no matter where you are, that is the proper place of worship.
Come on.
Everywhere. Why do you say that, Ryan? Well, because what we just read, I can never, y'all say never,
never,
get away from your presence. The place of worship is you. Let's pray and dismiss. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go. The place of worship is you. Wherever you find yourself, that is the place of worship. But I've already like created a little bit of a problem here. And so let me fix it real quick. The place of worship actually isn't a place. It's every place. All of the place. Every of the place. Y'all follow me. It's every place. You are the place of worship. Wherever you find yourself, that's the place of worship. Paul says it like this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? By the way, being the temple of the Holy Spirit means that wherever you are becomes your place of worship. But we don't like view worship like that normally. Or maybe it's better said that we don't normally look, we don't intentionally look for extra opportunities to worship. You ever felt like worshiping like on the cereal aisle at Walmart? Hey, my favorite cereal's half price. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that kind of worship. Come on. Well, what about like sitting in a school pickup line? Oh my goodness. I'd never want to worship there. You're there like all day, it feels like. Well, the Bible just says I can never, y'all say never, get away from your presence. So your bodies are the temple of the Holy of the Holy Spirit. You can't ever get away from His presence. But Paul goes on to say, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Yeah. Our bodies are God's temple. They should be honoring to God. That's not too deep for like any of us to understand. Yeah. Right? What's more honoring than worship? To honor somebody is to put them in their proper place. So like, what's God's proper place? How about like high and exalted? How about worthy of praise? How about King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the name above every name? And that at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. That is what worship is. That is what honor is. Putting God in His proper place above everything in your life, including yourself. The place of worship is you. So like, think about it though. Most of us are walking around carrying the place of worship with us wherever we go, and we're just not using it. It's like carrying jumper cables in your car or in your truck, but using them as like a tow strap instead of jumper cables. It can work to a certain extent, but unless and until it's used for its proper purpose, come on, there's no power running through it. Is it just me or just like, does anybody else need a quick little jump start from the Holy Spirit today? Like, that's where I'm at today. I need a little something. But as Amanda said last week, worship is always our choice. It's a choice. The choice to worship isn't always easy, but it's always the right choice. The place of worship is you. So I don't ever want to like leave us with theology and not give us like handles to hold on to. I want us to be able to take something and run with it. So I want to move from the place of worship to like a practical place of worship. Is that okay for a minute? I'm gonna do it anyway. The Bible says I can never, say never,
never.
Get away. That was so terrible. I can never,
never.
Get away from your presence. This is my box of worship. Ain't it cool? It's pretty, huh? Come on, you're not supposed to see that yet. But I need it there. This is my box of worship. But sometimes, here's what happens. We have our box of worship, and we just like, we close in on it, and we protect it, and we guard it, and we don't let anybody see it. And what happens is we end up with some like bad box theology. Let me unpack that for you. Bad box theology. It says stuff like, I bring my box of worship to church because that is the place of worship. Church is a place of worship, but it is not the place of worship. You tracking with me? Bad box theology says, I only will open my box of worship if there's somebody available to watch me worship. That's bad box theology. I love this church. We have literally given our entire lives for this church. And I love worshiping with you. But let me just tell you, in love, that if your whole box of worship can fit neatly into the box of church, you're missing an entire world of worship. Y'all know, most of y'all probably know, our entire church literally fits in a literal box. Okay, it's two boxes, but they fit in a box, all right? Every Sunday morning, we roll up early, we open the box, we pull out church, we set it up, and when it's done, we tear it down and put it back in the box, and the box goes away. There's a literal box of church here. But I think the problem is that as we're loading this up, I think sometimes we put more than just our equipment into the box. That's bad box theology. I just want to encourage you to be careful how you view worship. If worship is a Sunday only thing for you, you may have some bad box theology. Now, I'm going to preach today. Y'all may not hear, but I'm going to preach today. Look, now here's my box of worship. I'm gonna dig into it, okay? This everyone's looking at my box of worship like, what the heck is it?
What's in there? Oh.
This is my box of worship. I've got like my elements of worship right here. The problem is, the misconception is that this is the element of worship. Where's Austin? Where you at? Bro, I love it. I love when you're just rocking out and shredding. Well, I guess you're shredding this way because you're lefty. That's weird. But that's fine. I love it. All the worship team. I love worshiping with the full worship team. I love it. But that is not my box of worship. This is. Here's my element of worship. Here's number one. Oh, I'm going to break everything. Oh, if I break it, I'll be in so much trouble. This is my element of worship. Y'all like my vacuum? This is my element of worship. This stage carpet needed vacuuming anyway, so this all just worked out. This is my box of worship. Worship allows the Holy Spirit to suck up the mess of life and leave the church, how do I say this, without spot or wrinkle. Amen? This is my element of worship. Depending on the size of your house or your office or whatever you do, vacuuming could add an extra 10 to 30 minutes of your day, maybe an hour or more of your week. Maybe you don't vacuum every day, but maybe this could add an extra 10 minutes to an hour worth of worship in your week outside of the corporate worship. Hey, what else do I got in my box of worship? Get on there. Does anybody else live in a house? Their house wears clothes and stuff? Anybody? No, just me. That's all right. Nudist colony. I didn't know that, but that's all right. Come on, somebody help me. Does anybody else have to fold clothes?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. My Bible says that God is a God of order, not disorder. So watch this. Ready? That's worship. God is a God of order, not of disorder. If you've ever had to do laundry as a daily chore or weekly chore, why not redeem the mundane? Look. Let me. I forgot. I need my cup. I don't know whose cup this is. It's mine now. You ever got to do dishes? Anybody? I'm a dishes dude. That's kind of one thing I do. And Amanda has caught me so many times just crying my eyes out, weeping, worshiping over the sink. I have no idea why, but God has chosen to wreck me over the kitchen sink so many times. She'll be walking, Amanda will walk around the corner, and I'm just like, oh God, you know, like washing dishes. Who does that? That's my element of worship. I'm like, all right, God, I got a full sink and an empty heart. Fill me up. I got a full sink right now. I know I got a job to do when I get home. How about some tools? We got some people in here that really know how to fix things. Y'all, that ain't me. I'll just be honest with you. I need to like file a homeowner's claim just to change a light bulb. That's me. But we got some people in here that can fix things. And what's worship beyond fixing our perspective? What's worship beyond, I don't know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? That's what it is. How about cutting the grass? How about running? How about doing a little bit of yard work? There's something about breaking down the physical body that allows God to build up the spiritual body. When you get so empty of yourself, you then have room for God to fill you up. These are my elements of worship. My box of worship won't fit into the box of church because church only happens once a week for like an hour and a half. I need more than that. I am a worshiper, therefore, whatever my hands find themselves doing will be an act of worship. There's not a box of church big enough that can hold my box of worship. There's just not. I can never, y'all say never, get away from His presence. This is what my worship looks like. This is like my worship set every week. This is a nice addition. This is my personal worship place. The place of authentic worship is the place where the wonder of God meets the mundane of Monday. There should never be a Sunday only place of worship in your life. So y'all, we've got the place of worship. That's you. We've got a practical place of worship. This is me. Yours might look different. Maybe it's jumping over some hurdles, you know, 1,000 times a week. That's fine. That's you. That's not me, though. We got a place of worship. We got a practical place of worship. And now we need a personal place of worship. A personal place of worship. Your spirit, I'm just going to tell you this. Your spirit, wherever you are, your spirit desperately needs a personal place of worship. You desperately need it. If you don't believe me, that's because you don't have it yet. But once you find that personal place of worship, man, that consistent place where you can meet with God, not only can I never get away from God's presence, I can never not want to be in His presence. You follow me? Your personal place of worship prepares the corporate place of worship. You want to see God pour out His Spirit even more so than He did earlier by speaking through Brother Larry. You want to see God pour out His Spirit even more on this church? Prepare this place of worship with your personal place of worship. The corporate place of worship is only meant to enhance, to build, to grow your personal place of worship. That's what it's for. If the corporate place of worship is your only place of worship, I would question if you have a place of worship. Is it okay that I tell you some truth in love today? Like that's what God has given me. But let me just tell you, don't get down on yourself. Don't get down on yourself if you don't have like that one particular place picked out yet. Don't get down on yourself. I will guarantee you, you have a place you can worship in your life. Let me look at your schedule 1 week. I'll pick out some holes. I'll punch some holes in it. We'll find a place of worship. But here's why this is so vital. You ready? Your personal place of worship changes the atmosphere. It does. It changes the atmosphere in your home, changes the atmosphere at your work, in your classes that most of us are done with now, praise the Lord. It changes the atmosphere. I've talked to several people lately that their personal place of worship is the shower. Like, they get some Jesus when they're just sitting there bare before the Lord. That's what they're doing. They're just like, you can't have your phone in there. You'll break it. So I got nothing left to do but to converse with my Savior. That's like the place of, that's their place of worship. I can never get away from your presence. For me, it's my ottoman. Like, you know, like the footstool you put in front of the couch. Mine's like squishy and nice and soft and comfy. But that's my place. I'll put in my headphones and I'll crank it up way too loud. And I guess it's been about a year now on repeat. When I go to my place of worship on repeat, I've got Have My Heart by Maverick City. Anybody else? Come on. They wrote that one for me. because I needed that one. I called them like, hey, y'all got to hook me up. No, they didn't. But it's fine. That's my song, though. Get your own. And I just go to work with the Lord right there on that ottoman. I don't know. I don't know what else is happening in my house when I'm meeting with the Lord. People come in and walk through, don't they? They just come in and walk through. And I am right there meeting with the Lord. It makes no difference. I'm a puddle of mush. And life's still happening around me. The place of worship, your personal place of worship, changes the atmosphere. I can't be in worship and have a bad attitude at the same time. It's not possible. Because you see, the attention of your mind changes from you to the one that's actually worthy of your attention. It's not possible to have a bad attitude while remembering and thanking God for all He's done for you. Let me say this a different way. You can't be self-absorbed and in worship in the same moment. It's not possible. You have to choose. Man, what did you say? Worship is a choice. Thank you. Worship is a choice. I also can't be in worship and in worry at the same time. Worry places all the responsibility on me to fix things, to fix everything. And I just told you I can't fix anything, so I'm in trouble. Worship, on the other hand, places that same responsibility on the righteous sovereignty of God. Worship and worry cannot coexist. Jesus said it like this: when you're put on trial, don't worry about how you'll defend yourself or what you will say. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Don't worry. Paul said it like this. He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But in everything, with prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God. He's saying there's going to be things you're going to need to pray about. Just don't worry about it. Your personal place of worship changes the atmosphere. Your personal place of worship is the place where God's presence covers your past. It's where God's presence and the cost that Jesus paid, the price Jesus paid on Calvary, corrupts your past. So it's no longer even retrievable. It's gone. It corrupts your past, and grace and mercy is the only thing that's remaining. That is why we have to have a personal place of worship. That's why we can have a personal place of worship. Because of God's grace, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not perfect, but I am made new, so I'm going to worship. Your personal place of worship changes the atmosphere. I know it's probably not just me, but does anybody else need a shifting of the atmosphere in one area of your life or another? Is it just me? No. Okay, it's me and some of them and Jackson, and I see you. That's awesome. If there is... Let me ask you like this. You ready? This is like, you need to respond, okay? If there is a reason to worship God in your life, would you go ahead and do that? Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, God. You are holy and mighty and righteous. God, I don't need music to worship you. I'm just going to worship you. I don't need a band leading me. God, I don't need anybody around me. I don't need people looking at me. I just need you. And so I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to chase you because you are worthy to be pursued. You are worthy to be chased. God, I give you praise. I give you honor. All of my life is yours anyway. You gave it to me. You're going to use it. Do with me whatever you want it to do. God, I thank you because you are holy. You are righteous. And you are my God. If there is any reason to worship God, why would we not worship God? If we were created from the beginning to be in relation and in worship with God, why would we not? I'm not carrying around jumper cables to tow people around. I want that power to go through. We got a place of worship. We've got a practical place of worship. We have a personal place of worship. But you need to know, church, that there is power in your place of worship. Here's what it is. Ready? Power in the place of worship. The prophet Ezekiel, way back Old Testament, he called the Holy Spirit the Kadesh. Say Kadesh. Kadesh. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, and now so are all of you. That's fine. The Kadesh. He called the Holy Spirit the Kadesh, the consuming fire that goes before you. He's likening the Holy Spirit to that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of slavery. The Bible says that God led them out with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Can you imagine like in a giant pillar walking in front of you or moving in front of you? You're just following it around because that's God. It's no wonder why when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, there was some fire on their heads. Y'all see that? There's power in your place of worship. The Holy Spirit is the consuming fire that goes before us. So you ready for this? You're going to have to think with me on this one. The place of worship is the place that your feet get hot.
My God.
Can you see it yet? The place of worship. The heat reminds us how much more God has already burned off in front of you before you got to where you are. That's what the Holy Spirit is. That's the place of worship. You may get hot. Hot coals simmer even underground for a long time. They're still hot. But you ain't going to get burned. You know why? There's nothing left to burn. Everything that can be consumed has been consumed by the consuming power of God. The consuming fire that went before you has already consumed everything. This is like the fire prevention fires. You know what I'm talking about? Like you get a big wildfire going. The people who are fighting the fire, they don't go and spray the water hose on the fire. They go 100 yards, 200 yards, a mile past where the fire line is, and they start another fire. You understand why they do this? It's because once the fire hits that part, there's no more consumable product for the fire to burn. The Holy Spirit has done burned everything that got in your way.
Amen. Come on now.
All things that could be consumed have been consumed. So the Holy Spirit fire that burned away through the wilderness when there seemed to be no way now lives inside of you and operates within you. The Spirit of God, as in God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like all of that. The Holy Spirit flows through your veins. It strengthens your muscles. It guides your every step. So you see, the place of worship is often the place where you get too uncomfortable just to stand still. Because you see, the embers beneath your feet are bringing to mind the thought that you might be getting stagnant in your walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
If you stand on a fire, you know what's going to happen? Your feet going to get burned.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt. But if you walk across, y'all know y'all can like walk across fire. Don't tell my kids. But you can. As long as you're moving forward at a decent pace, you're not going to get burned. This is supposed to be like a walk with the Lord. It's supposed to be a journey with Jesus. That means like consistently moving forward. That's what all of this is about. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what this whole church thing is about. This walk with the Lord. It's called a walk. You're supposed to be moving forward. So church, don't let yourself get caught standing still. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Grasp hold of the promises of God. Get in His presence and refuse to leave. A dude did the exact same thing with Jacob and said he wrestled with the Lord all night long. He said, I ain't letting go until you bless me. You know what happened? The Lord blessed him because he refused to let go. The Holy Spirit gives power to your place of worship. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Are you understanding how all this is working? We have a place of worship. We have a practical place of worship. We have a personal place of worship. We have a power in the place of worship. Worship team, I know I'm way too early. Y'all, come on. Way too early. It's 11:03. I'm not mad about it. You ever been mad because I went too short? You can take it up with the rest of everybody else. Y'all, I'm telling you, there's a reason why God has us built for worship. And it's because there's atmosphere that needs to be changed. There's mountains that need moved that you can't do it by yourself. Worship recognizes the lack that I have and the ability that God has. That's why we reach up in worship. We reach up because He can do something about it and I can't. Let me see if I can explain this one last way. The place of worship is a paradox of praise. It's a paradox of praise. It doesn't make any sense. You see, on the one hand, I'm incredibly grateful. I'm super humbled and honored that for all that God has done. He sent His Son to die in my place like I should have had to die for that. But God loved me so much. He loves you too. But like, He's a personal God and I'm a very selfish person. So like, this is good for me. He died for me. God sent His Son. The Bible says, for God so loved Ryan that He sent His Son. For God so loved Amanda, Isaiah, Amber, Shekinah. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son. And the simple truth is that whoever believes in Him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? You want to know why we worship? Because He's worthy of worship. The place of worship is this paradox of praise where I'm so incredibly grateful for all of that stuff and yet heartbroken at my own sin that caused Him to have to go through all that stuff. It's a paradox. I don't remember the dude's name, but he said the greatest paradox of the soul is to have found God and continue to pursue Him. This is what worship is. Pursuing God in your everyday, with your element of worship, with your set list of worship. You know, this probably wasn't like the best Mother's Day message that anybody has ever heard. But moms, let me just tell you this. The best thing that you can do for your kids is to teach them to worship. Let them see you worship outside of a Sunday morning. Why not let them watch you bear it all before the Lord as you're doing the dishes? Why not? Why not let them see you worshiping God as you're vacuuming the house? It's okay that I say that. That's not talking about gender roles, because this is my job. Why not let your kids watch you worship over them as they're going to bed? The best thing you can do is to teach them awe of the awesomeness of God. I remember my mom. My mom's an awesome musician. She's an awesome mom. I'm super blessed. I know that. I was super blessed. She taught me a lot about music and worship through music. I remember her teaching me how to hear harmony as we're standing in big church. You know, Sunday nights, they didn't have kids' church, so you got to stand in big church. And so mom would grab me and stand me on top of the back of the pew. Y'all ever did that, anybody? No, just me? Okay. My mom would stand me on the back of the pew, and whatever the worship leader, the song leader, that's what they were back then, whatever the song leader was singing, she would harmonize with them straight into my ear. She held me like this. And I can remember her singing, "Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord." I can remember her singing "Amazing Grace." I can remember her singing "The Old Rugged Cross" and "Blessed Be the Name." I remember all those things and all those times. And as she got more actively engaged in worship, she began to pull tighter and tighter. And I'm like, oh God, she's really getting a blessing today. But she was teaching me about the all-encompassing pursuit of God. But it wasn't just a Sunday morning thing. You know, I've had many other mom figures in my life that have taught me so much about worship as well. I've had moms teach me how to truly love other people that, man, it's hard to love. I've had moms teach me that. I've had moms teach me how to love somebody through difficulty. How to love somebody when they just continually make stupid choice after stupid choice and you watch their life spiral and yet mom is standing right there beside them. I've had different women in my life pour into me and help make me the man I am today. I've watched my wife, the mother of my kids, teach my kids that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to admit that, you know, today I'm worshiping through the pain. I mean, it's not all sunshine and roses all the time. I've watched my wife struggle with a couple things and yet still find the joy in worship. We have honest conversations all the time, and no, things aren't perfect. But they're continually being made new. The place of worship, the place of authentic worship, is the place where the miraculous nature of God meets the mundane mess of Monday. I would be super upset with myself if I didn't give us an opportunity to worship. So y'all jump to your feet. We're ahead of schedule. You're welcome. Y'all jump to your feet. We're going to worship, team. I'll give you this in just a second. But we're going to worship. But before we do, I can't let the opportunity go by without asking. If you're in here today and you don't know this Jesus that I'm so pumped up about, like, who is this dude that got this dude with the microphone so amped up? Like, this guy, Jesus, radically changed my life. He picked me up from the junk in the muck and set me up. He forgave me of all the crap that I've done in my past. And y'all, there's a lot. But he forgave me and made me a new person. And now the Bible says that because I simply believe in this dude that died in my place and rose again, like, our entire faith system hinges on the fact that a dead man is still alive. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. And by saved, we simply mean securing your eternity in heaven. And so if you're in here today and you're like, yeah, I'm ready to start creating my big box of worship with Jesus. Everybody just bow your heads real quick. No one looking around. If this is you and you're ready to take that first step in asking Jesus into your life, into your heart, and forgiving you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to simply look up. Let me connect eyes with you. We're going to say a simple prayer and then we're just going to worship. So if this is you in here today and you're ready to ask Jesus into your heart, go ahead and look up. Let me connect with you and we'll move right along. Maybe this was the day that was meant for you. Yeah, I got you. Anybody else? This is the day that the Lord has made for you. Is it you? All right, y'all. We've had one amazing person make a decision to accept Jesus. That's huge. So we're going to help this person out. I'm going to say a simple prayer. Y'all are going to repeat it. When we say amen, y'all better go nuts because heaven's having a party too, all right? Here we go. Say, yo, Jesus. You're awesome. Thank you so much for dying in my place. Thank you so much for not staying dead. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I'm going to pursue you. Amen. Amen. And the church went nuts. Let's go. That's so big. That's so big. Hey, we're going to worship now. Go ahead and get your box out of worship. Let's go.